Now, if you got a Bible, you can open it to Galatians chapter 2, and let me read you my text. It comes from verses 11 through 14 of Galatians chapter 2, and they read like this. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God, this word, this endures forever. Guys, what you have here in this little paragraph that I just read is a bit of a church fight, a squabble that's going on in the church. I have a book in my library called Great Church Fights, and this paragraph has a chapter in that book. It's a fight, folks. And this one is made all the more notable by the fact that it is between the two titans of the Christian church at that time, Peter and Paul. Folks, back in January, I used this text at a Lord's Supper service to say certain things, but I drew your attention back in January to what I think is the intriguing or the most intriguing part of this paragraph. And it's found in verse 14, where it says, when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. Gang, we normally think of church fights that take place as normally having to do with doctrine. The most recent squabble that went on is over a document that's called the ECT document. And by the way, it was over the same subject that our text is, justification by faith alone. The ECT document is something, ECT stood for Evangelicals and Catholics Together. And there was a group trying to merge the two or remerge the two after the great split that took place in the 16th century. It was an effort to try and put those back together again, Catholicism and Protestantism. And the sticking point in that great squabble was over justification by faith alone. The document was completed and it was signed by notables like J.I. Packer. Chuck Colson signed it. Bill Bright signed it. And then, in response to its being signed, there was a group of three names that you know. John MacArthur was one. Jim Kennedy, the man from whom Susie and I first heard the gospel, was involved. And then, of course, my hero, R.C. Sproul. Those three got together and planned conferences all over the country, fighting this ECT document, a document that had been signed by Jim Packer and Bill Bright. And they fought and told the reasons why, because the issue had to do with the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Now, as I said, we expect most of the squabbles to be doctrinal in nature. This one wasn't. It wasn't about doctrine. It was about conduct. As I read from verse 14, they discerned that their conduct was not in step with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gang, did you know that? Did you know that we can be off doctrinally, but we can be off in such a way in our conduct that our conduct undermines, undercuts the truth of the gospel via our conduct. I'll give you an example. Racism. Racism is a conduct that is not in keeping with the gospel. And so Paul, and by the way, we all know that our conduct is, underneath our conduct are certain beliefs that we have. So Paul saw through the conduct to the real issue of certain things that were believed by the Judaizers that denied the gospel, primarily making some human requirements in addition to the gospel. So Paul saw that as being a threat to the very organization and institution and shape of the Christian church. And he then took on the Apostle Peter in that little paragraph that I read. And you'll notice that he did so very publicly, face to face. He said, "Wait a minute, Peter." By the way, that's who Cephas is. "Wait a minute, Peter. What you and Barnabas are doing in terms of your conduct is undercutting the clear and simple message of the gospel. Because you see, everyone whom God invites to this table should have a place at this table, removing all of those human boundaries that you guys have set to limit who can be invited to the table of the Lord." Now, guys, that is not to say there are no boundaries. There are boundaries. But the boundaries that are set are boundaries that are set based on what is on this table, not who is invited to this table. That is, everyone is invited who depends upon this. These two elements, ladies and gentlemen, they combine to symbolize the very essence of the Christian message. All those who are trusting in what these things symbolize are invited. Don't add anything to that. Don't try to say, "Well, yes, you need to do this and that." Oh, you must be confirmed or you're not invited. Folks, to deny this sacrament to any of those folks who are trusting in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is to assault the very essence of the Christian message. We do not add any other test of membership other than what is being symbolized by these two elements on this table. Folks, if you start tampering with the gospel, oh, that made the Apostle Paul very angry. And it ought to make us angry as well. Gang, the gospel is this: Christ alone, through faith alone, by God's grace alone. That's it. Don't add to that. Don't tamper with that. And if that is who you are, someone who's trusting in that Christ alone, through faith alone, by God's grace alone, this is set for you. These elements are to be a reminder to God's people of what is the central motif of all that we stand for as Christians, and that is the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's what you're trusting in, and that only? This is for you. Now, may I say conversely, if that is not what you're trusting, and that only, then don't come here. Don't come to the sacrament. Don't come to the place where these elements are trying to or seeking to remind God's people of the heartbeat of our faith if you've added something to that faith. If you have added something to that faith, then come see me afterwards and let's talk further, because the gospel, folks, is right here on this table. That's it. That's all you need to know. All you need to know is that which relates to the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. Any other conduct? Any other doctrinal position is not in step with the gospel. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what we're celebrating here this morning. What Jesus Christ has accomplished for his people as a provision for the debt that we created by our sin. You want payment for that debt? It's here. It's to be found here and no place else. Let's pray together. Our Father, would you remind us that this is a sacred meal in symbolic form. It is a meal that is designed to remind your people of the very heartbeat of what we hold dear. It is also to be a certain refreshment for God's people in a world that has gone mad. Father, might you remind us that in heaven, all is well. That the events of the last few hours have not done anything to knock you off your throne or change your plan. The plan is still, all those who believe in Christ Jesus will be saved. Would you meet us here and refresh us with that assurance? We ask it all, of course, in Jesus' name. Amen.